Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, it is keyboard madness. We're going to show off some of our favorites, plus some iOS 8 tips, how to hide photos selectively, and we're bringing FTP back on iPad Today. This episode of iPad Today is brought to you by Braintree. If you're a developer or manager of a mobile app and searching for the right payments API, check out the new OneTouch product by Braintree, the fastest, easiest, most secure way to pay in-app. To learn more, and for your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free, go to BraintreePayments.com/twit. Welcome to iPad Today. Something seems a little different. Leo?
Tiny bit different.
You seem, I don't know, well rested.
I got a massage.
Ah, maybe that's what you look calm.
And then they said we did this wrap on my head.
You thinned out a bit.
It's been
it's like a Benjamin
really
Button situation going backward as far as aging.
Benjamin Button. I am Mr. Leo Benjamin Button the poet.
Well, wonderful. Hey, we're kidding, of course. This is Chad Johnson, who is going to help me co-host iPad Today this week.
Leo had to run off to London, jerk.
Yeah, he and Lisa, they're on vacation, right?
Yeah.
So he's going to be out this week. We mentioned that last week. But Chad is, I begged you, and I actually kind of like bothered you over the weekend. Please do iPad Today with me. So you were nice enough to say, yeah, sure, I'd love to. So thanks for being on the show.
Of course.
I noticed that you've got your iPad Mini.
My iPad Mini, my trusty iPad Mini.
Now,
I love this thing.
And we've talked about the iPad Mini before, but just for anybody who's, you know, wondering why you decided to rock the Mini, you find it's easier to travel with, just more mobile, you just prefer the size more than the iPad Air?
Yeah, basically, I prefer the size. And when I found out when it was released that it has the exact same amount of pixels, they're just denser, and it has the same processor, there's no reason not to go for the size that I wanted, which was a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
It travels a lot better, but I have great eyesight. There's a lady behind me right there. I have really great eyesight, and so there's no reason for me not to to get something that's smaller because, you know, I can see the screen. I can see all the pixels that I want, and I like the smaller. I'm telling you, there's people back there.
She can see herself. There's people, anybody who's listening to the audio version of the show, there's folks standing out on the sidewalk looking at a monitor of the show, which is looking at themselves.
Yes, absolutely.
In sort of a infinite loop of, I don't know what.
Awkwardness.
Right? Yeah. Oh, if they only knew. We're making fun of you out there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, that's why I went for the iPad Mini.
It was
the size I wanted. It fits my backpack perfectly, and there's no compromises. I can't think of a compromise. Because the ten inch screen was just too big.
It's just too much for you. See, I still like it. Now, on the show last week, live during the show, Leo presented me with my iPhone 6 Plus, which is, you know, we got here at Twit, obviously. Yeah, this is the larger of the new iPhones. And so it's been exactly a week that I've had it. And the whole question I really had was, is it going to feel like something that could replace, let's say, an iPad Mini?
Right.
Because it's really not. I mean, it's...
Can I borrow it
real fast? Of course. Yeah, there's not much of a comparison to be made with the full-size iPad
Air. Darn close, to be honest.
It's not that much smaller.
It's pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, like, vertical...
Yeah.
Really, all you're missing is some, you know, horizontal space if you're going to hold it in portrait mode. But at the same time, when you look at them together, I mean, they are two
pretty
different.
Amazing.
They're two different experiences.
Yeah, they really are. Still.
I did have a few strange moments. First of all, this is just, it's too big. I'm going to stick with it. I'm getting kind of used to it, but it's just like, I can't do one thing one-handed on this.
Right.
It just doesn't work.
I've gotten used to that with my Android phone. And basically, I just feel like an old lady all the time where I'm always using two hands. And it does feel kind of like, hunt and peck.
Yeah.
Because this is normally a little bit more fluid. I don't know what I'm upgrading to. It's up to Josh. Whatever Josh decides. I'm taking his leftovers, Josh Windisch, our editor. Because he got not only an iPhone 6 Plus, 64 gigabyte on T-Mobile, but an iPhone 6, 64 gigabyte on T-Mobile.
Why did he get two?
Because he can't decide.
Oh, jeez.
So,
you know what? I can't even.
We will decide. We'll figure that out later.
Well, I wondered if I would think to myself, wow, this is, you know, this could be sort of my all-in-one device.
Right.
Like, it's my phone, even though it feels really silly to make a huge phone call, which I've done a couple times. But so far, it actually is more of an annoyingly large phone than anything that I think recreates the experience of the iPad.
Right.
I guess that, you know, one weekend, that's kind of the way I feel about it. And I'm not sure if anybody else who ended up getting the 6 Plus is thinking of using it as, you know, an iPad alternative, that kind of thing. But it doesn't quite work in
that
the
way.
Same way, no. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, too, is another way that it feels very iPad-like is when you, and Brian, if you want to go ahead and show the screen here, when you rotate.
All your apps rotate.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you can hold the phone upside down.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it acts like an iPad in that way, but it's a little wonky, right? I mean.
Do you like it in that moment?
Not really. I never hold it like this. It feels strange, especially because my dock, you know, it doesn't act like an iPad in that way. The dock goes over to the right-hand side. It's a little odd. I mean, it's not bad.
Why couldn't they have kept the dock at the bottom?
Well, I think
like
it's...
Like the iPad.
Well,
oh, the iPad's 4x3.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
the ratio would, I think it would seem really squished,
right.
And there wouldn't be enough real estate for apps. So I don't know. This is an interesting little situation that I have here. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. But thank goodness I have my full size iPad Air. You know, when we talked about iOS 8 last week, Leo and I, we talked a little bit about third party keyboards, which is obviously an app category that we haven't had before, and it acts a little strange because you actually have to download the keyboard app. But that doesn't really do anything.
No.
It's almost like a weird placeholder.
It's like a shell.
Yeah, exactly. What you actually have to do is go into your settings, in your general settings, down to keyboard. Brian, if you want to go ahead and... There you go. What are you laughing at back there? You're just waiting for me to prompt you for this entire show?
Let's see how long I cannot take the shot.
Right. Until Sarah calls me out by name. And then in the keyboard section, of course, I have a bunch of keyboards that I have already... downloaded and installed because I want to try them all out. But yeah, this is where you would actually have to add the new keyboard that you already downloaded as an app.
Oh, no joke. It doesn't even populate in that keyboards area. Diving into this. I'm really excited that this is our theme because I have not dived into the new 1.8 keyboards.
Okay.
Or 8.1 keyboards.
8.0.1?
8.0.1. I forget. Sorry, I was...
8.0.2.
Correct. That just came out.
8.1.2? I don't know.
In the iOS 8 keyboards.
It's the one that doesn't ruin everything.
Exactly. It's the one that doesn't brick your phone
although
and allows you to get on...
Although, data. You know, the issues that a lot of people had, we're talking about when iOS 8 came out, there was an update, 8.0.1, I guess, that ended up, rendering people's cellular service dead,
yes.
And Touch ID was broken in many
yes.
cases. Some folks, though, that are on iPads that don't have a data plan, I guess you wouldn't even know the difference because you don't have Touch ID anyway.
Right.
And
right.
if you're not
so iPad
using
users,
LTE
yeah,
or
really
something
get
like
hit that.
Yeah.
Much.
It was kind of a mess for everybody else. But yeah, so the fun thing about the keyboards, I think, is let's go ahead and open up some notes. So they're oh boy. Now this seems very strange.
that
Where's my keyboard?
That might be a bug.
Yeah. Look at this. Well, Now what happens? Huh.
Maybe the touch sensors are still there. Can you like spread apart? Like, yeah. No.
This is very
awkward.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and close the Notes app and reopen it. Okay. So here is something that you probably didn't expect to see. Now this is...
Oh my gosh.
Probably the weirdest keyboard that could be installed as a third-party keyboard.
Yeah.
It is called GIF keyboard, or GIF, if you're so inclined to say it incorrectly. GIF or GIF keyboard is basically a keyboard. Well, it acts like a keyboard. You actually have to install it as a third-party keyboard. But it's all about animated GIFs.
What?
Yeah. So, okay. So here is, you have the little global icon here.
That's
which is
how you switch between.
Exactly.
Right.
You switch between keyboards. So I'll go ahead and leave that alone for a second. But basically what GIF keyboard is I'm looking right now at a variety of animated GIFs that, you know, convey a message, right?
Emotions, right.
Right. So we've got Rihanna saying, nope. Now, I've just clicked on that particular animated GIF.
And so now you're in like a subsection.
Yeah, basically now I have a bunch of other options of things that are animated ways to say no.
The cat. I want the cat.
You want the cat saying no, no, no?
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
So you go ahead and hold, copy GIF. I also have the opportunity to either paste the link, copy a video, or save to the camera
Which
roll.
Makes sense, because on different things, that, like on chats and stuff, you can paste something directly in. As say like an image, or sometimes you need a link if it doesn't support that.
Correct.
And which app are you in right now? This looks like Notes.
This is Notes. There it goes.
Yeah. So you could paste an image directly into Notes.
Exactly. Now, what's cool about it is that there's a couple like weird things about animated GIFs, right? First of all, sometimes it's hard to copy and paste them. You know, you like want something to be animated, and then you put it in a, you know, note in Messages, but it's a static image.
Right.
So this is not only discovery, but it's just a really easy way to copy and paste something that's actually going to move the way that you think it is. So this is kind of neat. So you've got, I've got recent animated GIFs that I have copied and pasted into whatever. Basically these are a variety of stuff to kind of get you started. For example, if I want to convey tears. I've
tears.
Got all sorts of options.
Oh, my gosh.
You know? Oh, yeah. A lot of tears. A lot
Ryan
of tears.
Is loving that dough.
Yeah, totally. Now, this is actually kind of interesting. You've got hashtags for stuff like BuzzFeed or
this
animals
like
or Reddit.
From these places.
Exactly. Jenna Marbles has her own category. She's a YouTube
Tyler
star
Oakley.
For anybody.
Look at that.
Tyler Oakley, who I don't know, but you do.
Yeah, he's a YouTuber.
Yeah. And then you've got a variety of animated GIFs that are trending. There's a little trending icon. It's kind of hard to see, but yeah, this is, you know, stuff that's obviously popular. Music icon is obviously music based stuff, or you can go ahead and actually search for something. Like if I was going to, you know, search for Minecraft, right, which is something that, you know, might be helpful to you, go ahead and say search, and apparently there is nothing to... Did I spell that right?
Yeah, Minecraft.
Come on.
Maybe return? No.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, it just
took
a tiny touch target. Oh, look at those. There's so many.
Yeah, so I can say, you know, please, you know, give me something Minecraft related, and then you've got all these options.
That's amazing.
Kind of neat, huh?
I love it.
Then at the, you know, at the very end, you've actually got an actual keyboard. This is part of the GIF keyboard, and then, you know, your delete button. So that's actually just what, I mean, it's very...
Is there any idea on how many GIFs are in this keyboard? Because that looks like hundreds, if not thousands of possibilities. You're able to search for Minecraft, which is a very specific topic.
Right.
And there's that many GIFs. That's amazing.
It's kind of neat, huh?
Isn't that neat? That is really neat.
So that's GIF keyboard or GIF keyboard. Leo did mention SwiftKey last week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got some bones to pick with the way that third-party apps, third-party keyboards work in iOS 8 because... All right, so this is the stock keyboard that we're looking at right now. This is what, you know, what it looks like. Press and hold. Now I've got some other keyboard options. Up at the top, I can also toggle on and off predictive text depending on, you know, if I like that or not, which I do, so I leave it. So I've also got a French keyboard, which is basically just a different arrangement of keys. So I've got a couple stock keyboards, basically. I've got an emoji keyboard has been on there for a while. Yeah, you need those. Then I've got SwiftKey, another keyboard called MyScript, which we'll get to in a second, Flexi, which has actually been around on the iPad for some time, but was never able to be a native keyboard until last week. And then, of course, Riffsy, which is the GIF keyboard. So if you go ahead and switch over to SwiftKey, what's neat about SwiftKey is that not only is and anybody who listens to Leo knows that he really, really hates the way that the stock keyboard is all uppercase, because
right.
he never knows if he's about to type
right.
an uppercase or lowercase letter. Obviously, SwiftKey makes that super clear.
Right.
Uppercase, lowercase. Don't even worry about it. That's fine. Also, you've got your option to draw between your letters rather than actually type. So if I was going to say, like, oh, see, it did this to Leo last week too.
Oh, it didn't allow it.
Yeah, there's something weird about. Yeah, it's kind of squirrely. What you should be able to do is be able to draw. This exact same thing happened to Leo last week. Yeah, so there must be some sort of an interesting bug going on with SwiftKey. But you're supposed to be able to draw between your letters, which I actually have been playing around on using SwiftKey on my iPhone.
And it works just fine.
It works really well, actually. It works really well. So that's SwiftKey. My script, this is a fun, extremely different keyboard app. So
it's in the minimalist style, just like the other. Oh, gosh. Oh, that's it.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. I thought it had screwed up again.
Oh, yeah. So this what. I wonder if I was just in this keyboard
the
whole time.
No, you didn't. You would have noticed the universal.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, so there was something going on here. So here's what's going on. So this is called MyScript. It is a third-party keyboard. MyScript, all one word. And what I'm doing is I'm actually just drawing letters one by one. And
this
basically,
is going to be amazing for, like, when you've always had that pen that you could write on the screen. Those
yeah.
capacitive pens.
I think it's also for anybody who... you know how sometimes studies will say, oh, if you write something down, you remember it better.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. I often will, well, not that often, because I can never find pens anymore because nobody writes anything. But it's like sometimes I will, if I need to, like, make a note for myself or a list or something, I still do find that there's something about writing it longhand with my hands that commits it a little bit more to memory. So I think that's kind of what's going on here with MyScript. So you just go ahead and draw the letters of what you're going to say, and then if you need to add a space, you basically, it's almost as if you're making a hyphen. So I go ahead and say, what's up?
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually left-handed, so this is kind of weird. but it actually works quite well.
That's cool.
Yeah, and you can kind of just draw the letters on top of each other because, as you can see, they don't last very long, you know? And it can recognize uppercase.
Oh, yeah, it's doing that
predictive
well.
Text works fine as well. Sarajevo. Okay.
it did not like your name.
Right. And then you can cut. It's kind of neat how you can sort of. It's like
B. That was definitely a B. Can you write in cursive?
Well, let's see. Yeah. That
wow.
it knew the cursive S, right? Well, it did a second ago. Yep.
You know that what you just did might have been a loop around, which is delete in a lot of. Here, let me just see if I... Whoop. Nope, didn't do it. Nope, no. That looks like a T. That's an E. Yeah, not
this
sure.
This is, it's just fun.
Yeah,
I know, it's
that's,
just... It,
that's really neat.
So, and then, of course, Flexi Keyboard is yet another keyboard that I have it on. It doesn't have to
now,
look great.
That looks like a children's keyboard.
Well, you might say that, but Flexi is actually very interesting. I, by the way, this is just a theme. It doesn't have to look green.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing about Flexi is that it's designed to be, you know, let's say you're, I have... Oh, wait, I messed up. So you've got these...
Oh,
wow. Yeah, so I just basically deleted an entire word. I want... No, let's start over. How are you, Chad Johnson?
Oh.
See, so you've got a variety of little... basically, it's like... keyboard shortcuts that are gesture-based.
Yeah.
And depending on how many fingers you're swiping, if you're swiping left, if you're swiping right, you can add punctuation, you can delete. We've talked about Flexi on the show in the past, and Leo was always sort of like, but why? You
right.
have to be in the app itself to use the keyboard.
Right. And
I was sort of thinking, well, if you're doing a lot of writing and you want to incorporate those... gestures into, I don't know, something that's a little bit more longer form. it's not completely useless, but now, as your primary keyboard, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Good thing, good guy iOS 8 for allowing keyboards to live on iOS.
So what do you think about, there are some interesting issues, and I have found, and I thought that because I upgraded my iPad to the latest version of iOS 8, I have found that sometimes if I'm in one of the third-party keyboards, iOS will kind of like jump me back to the stock keyboard for right. no real reason. If you are typing in a password,
it'll do it.
It'll be the stock keyboard. It's kind of like how, you know, some things you have to do inside Safari, even right. if you really prefer the Chrome app, that type of thing. I don't know how much you've seen of that because I know you haven't really
right.
been playing around
been
with.
Playing with keyboards that much. But I mean,
do you feel the need for a different keyboard than the one that Apple has given us natively?
The thing that scared me is I really wanted LastPass to make a keyboard. That way, whenever uh-huh. I am typing in, I use LastPass for everything, and most of my passwords are 32 characters long with weird symbols, uppercase, lowercase,
yeah.
There's no way that I can remember them. And so my hope was that, because Share Sheets doesn't really dig into every app. If you land on, let's say, Swarm, and you want to log in, there's not really a Share Sheet available for you to tap and then get to LastPass so that you can copy your password from within the app.
What do you mean Share Sheet?
The Share Sheet is how extensions, like, their extensions work, right,
mm-hmm.
with a LastPass. So if I wanted to grab my LastPass
right.
password, you'd go into the Share menu, and then
Got
you could
it.
Click LastPass. And you're not actually sharing within the app. You're just grabbing the password that you want and then jumping back into the app without leaving the app.
Right.
That's how LastPass is dealing with it. But you need the Share icon in order to do that. And so a lot of apps don't have that available when you're first logging into them. So I was really hoping that LastPass would be able to create a keyboard that basically mimicked the stock keyboard, except maybe there was one more button that said open your vault, copy your password, or whatever. So that's what I was hoping, but it looks like with them taking away keyboards inside of password fields,
mm-hmm.
that's not really possible.
Yeah, that's not actually going to be something that you were going to get anytime soon.
Yeah.
Well, of the keyboards that you saw, GIF keyboard, I know you're a fan of Minecraft.
GIF keyboard, that one blew my mind.
That's kind of fun, right?
I really want that one. And it's so unencumbersome because when you want the GIF, you hit your keyboard button a few times and it's there.
Exactly. That's what I love
right.
about it, because it does come up every once in a while if you're, I don't know, childish enough to want
right.
to send animated GIFs regularly, or mature enough, whatever. It doesn't matter. But what's your other alternative? There's like, I don't know, you go into your browser and you type in animated GIFs and you find some website and then
yeah.
you hope to copy and paste
exactly.
from there. Like, that's not easier. That's much worse. So this
right.
actually just, it makes sense. Even if you don't use them, but once a year, then it's sort of built into your experience. Kind of like the way that, you know, the emoji keyboard seems like something that
exactly.
I've always had, even though I had to install it myself. By the way, some third-party keyboards bundle in emojis as well. So you could actually delete the emoji keyboard from iOS if, for whatever reason, you were using a third-party app all the time.
Perfect.
Just kind of clean things up
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah.
I want to mention that if you watch the show live, well, you know exactly when we're shooting the show because you're watching us right now. But if you don't, you always go to twit.tv/IPT. That's where you can keep up on our past shows. We are doing episode 216 today. Lots of episodes. The last week was a really fun one. We were so excited. iOS 8 was new, and I had a big old phone, and oh boy, Leo brought all the different incarnations of iPhones and iPads. It was a wonderful day. So yeah, if you missed the show, or you'd like to subscribe to the show and not think about when we actually shoot it, which is Mondays, by the way, at about 12:30 p.m., 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 12:30 Pacific. You can keep up with us on demand, subscribing to the video or audio podcast, whatever your little heart desires. If you can't see us, at least you can listen to us. You're going to miss women standing on the street behind Chad, but, you know, can't have it all.
I know.
And if you,
what are you gonna do?
Right, what are you gonna do? And if you have app ideas of your own or feedback for us, questions, ask Leo anything. That all goes to iPadToday@twit.tv. All right, before we get into actually some of your feedback, plus a few news stories, let's take a moment to thank a new sponsor here on iPad Today, and it is our friends at Braintree. Okay, so how do I explain the way Braintree works? Have you ever used the Uber app or the Airbnb app or the GitHub app or Hotel Tonight, for example? All of those companies, they're all very well known, are using Braintree as their payments API. Braintree scaled with these companies. Uber used to be a tiny little company, just a few people hanging out in San Francisco. Now they're all over the world. Braintree was able to scale with a company like Uber and can do that for your company as well. And it solves a big problem in online commerce, which is that there's a 70% cart abandonment rate. That is very, very high. It's even higher on mobile.
And the reason is because it's so difficult. It's so, you got to type in so much information.
It's a mess. It can be a complete mess. Now, do your customers want, you know, as an app developer, do your customers want, you know, to use PayPal in order to you know, as the payment system? Maybe Venmo. That's always a favorite of mine. I love it when Venmo is integrated into apps. Or possibly Bitcoin. Apple Pay. Apple Pay's coming up in October. 130 different currencies across all platforms, including fraud protection and customer service. If you're a developer, you don't have to, you know, take all this time figuring out how am I going to integrate payments. With Braintree, it only takes a few minutes. You can give them a call, and they can even handle the integration for you. The Braintree code doesn't just support iOS, Android as well, JavaScript clients as well, SDKs in 7 different languages, and the code is really nice. The documentation is very clear. You only need 10 lines of in-app code. Now, here's what is pretty fun. Oops, sorry. Braintree is known for back-end security, merchant protection, so like I said, you don't have to worry about fraud if you ever get hacked. Braintree has you covered. And they use tokens, so your payment is secured, so users' credit card info is not passed to the merchant server. And that's something that you can obviously pass along to your customers as well. Braintree is fast and easy, and it is the most secure way to pay. If you're an app developer or even a manager, you can try out Braintree today. The URL is braintreepayments.com/twit. That's braintreepayments.com/twit. You can review their documentation. You can play around a bit, give Braintree a try, no commitment. Test your integration before you go to production. And when you decide to implement One Touch, your first $50,000 in transactions will be fee-free. That is our gift to you. braintreepayments.com/twit. And if you've used Airbnb or Living Social or Fab or GitHub, let us know what you think about Braintree. You can tweet at Braintree. And thanks so much to the folks at Braintree for sponsoring this episode of iPad Today and supporting Twit.
Perfect.
What do you think about mobile development, Chad? You ever thought about writing an app?
I actually have.
Yeah?
You know, there's a lot of people that have made a lot of money off of apps.
No
and
kidding.
It's not
you
like...
You just need a good idea.
You just need a good idea, and mobile development is not, especially if you're sticking to something like iOS, it's not nearly as difficult as building a website where you have to worry about different browsers, different connection speeds, different all sorts of stuff.
Right.
You bundle into an app, that's it. Like,
right.
And that's how Instagram became so popular. It was an app. They didn't have a web front yet.
No,
they didn't
that's
have
true.
Anything
right.
in the beginning.
I think a lot of people still don't realize Instagram has a web version.
Right.
Right. You
right.
don't really need it.
No.
I mean,
I
sometimes
don't.
I go there if I've
right.
already got the
sometimes
browser
I'm
open.
Like, oh, they have it on their Twitter that they have an Instagram, and I'm browsing anyway, so let me jump over to a tab
right.
and look at that.
But, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, in the beginning, all they had was an app, and they were able to control the whole experience down to the pixel because they were on iOS, and they knew exactly what the screen size was going to be and exactly what the processor was going to be, and it was a really elegant experience.
Well, you and I, maybe when the show's over, we can have a powwow and figure
Perfect.
Out how to get really rich by coming up with a great app idea.
Yeah.
That's all, you know. Let's just do that so that we can be rich.
Yeah, because
I would like
it's
that.
A guarantee,
yeah.
basically. If you start developing an app, it will become popular and you will become rich.
And you will be really rich.
Yeah,
it's just
idea.
A matter of starting.
Right.
If only it were that easy. Hey, so what do you think about new iPads coming in October? We don't know that that's happening, but that is the rumor.
I'm excited.
That would be consistent with the last several years of Apple rolling out new models. Mm-hmm. I've got my iPad Air. You've got your iPad Mini. What do you expect from a new version of an iPad?
What I'm thinking is it will have the better camera that we have seen in the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And it hopefully will match the design. Because I got to say, I love the rounded glass on the iPhone and how it meets perfectly with the edge of the aluminum on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that design. And I'm hoping that they carry it over.
So what you're talking about is like...
Right there. And you can see it.
It's basically seamless. You don't feel much.
Yes.
Whereas on the iPad, you just get a bump. That ridge.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can see
Although
it also.
How often are you doing this?
You're holding it all day.
All right.
Holding it all day.
Yeah,
in fact, I feel like I hold the edge of my iPad more than I hold the edge of my phone. Because I can sort of cradle my phone and I have to grab onto something with my iPad. That would also just bring all of the design together. If the iPhone looked like that, the iPad looked like that, the iWatch looks like that with the glass that meets the Apple Watch, thank you, that meets the metal. So I hope that they do that for design and then also bring over the camera with it. Of course, you're going to get the at least I suspect, of course, you're going to get the processor bump that we've seen with the phones. And other than that, I don't think much could change.
It's weird.
What else could change?
Leo and I have talked about this, where it's like you get Touch ID, right?
Oh, Touch ID, of course.
Touch ID, that makes a sense. There have been rumors that possibly a gold back for an iPad, much as we now have with the iPhones. Although I don't have a gold iPhone 6 Plus.
I think the gold was the 5S. I think.
It was a fad?
People, yes.
No, I mean, I wanted the gold.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm not judging you.
I just don't have it.
Yes.
But that's okay.
Oops.
Yeah, whatever. Who really looks at the back of the phone more than like a couple times?
Right. And then are you going to put a case on it?
No. I don't do cases.
I would have said that before I cracked the heck out of my Nexus 5.
It's funny, though. Oh, yes. Oh, dear. Yeah. Oh, Chad.
I would have said no case for me except that.
But I noticed that with your iPad Mini, you've got the Apple cover.
I have the smart cover.
The smart cover.
Right.
And that's funny because, you know, my reaction, of course, is like, oh, no, I don't put cases on my phones. But I almost never take the smart cover off of my iPad. It is just part of it.
For some reason, the smart cover is the best companion for my iPad.
Yeah. Even if I'm reading... I never actually disconnect this and put it somewhere.
Right.
I just fold it, you know, into the back.
The only time that I ever have to do that is if somehow I get myself in some weird position in bed and I'm just like, it's too much. I just don't want to move. I'm just going to drop that off. It's just going to lay where it lays and I'm going to continue reading.
It's just too much.
That's the only time.
I must
finish
this article.
Too much.
With freedom.
This tiny piece of whatever is too much. Can't deal.
There is another rumor. This comes from Mac Rumors. This was a few days ago, actually, that possibly we might see new Mac Minis launching with iPads. Now,
same industrial design, glass rounded on the. No, I'm kidding.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it'll just be a Mac Mini Plus.
With matching wristbands, you'll be able to get the leather and the sport edition.
I think
Mac Mini.
So there are a couple things that seem a little bit weird about this to me. First of all, bundling an iPad announcement with some sort of Mac line announcement seems odd.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that the Mac Mini hasn't even been updated for like 2 years
forever.
As it is. And I kind of just thought that Apple had decided, that's just not really something that we care about. We didn't, you know, not enough people use them. Although I know people who like Mac Minis a lot, particularly for like a TV show and movie management, hooking them up to a TV.
Right.
I know a lot of people who do that at home. But I don't know. Is there anything that sounds like this makes sense?
The only thing that makes sense is that they announced a new iPhone and the Apple Watch at the same time.
Yeah.
It's kind of unprecedented that they would that the newest iPhone was also bundled with a watch announcement.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the newest iPad is also bundled with a new computer announcement. Unless if there's a huge design change in the Mac Mini, I wouldn't see that they would really spend a lot of time. Unless if there's a big difference. Maybe the Mac Mini is now super GPU intensive, and they've done a deal with NVIDIA, and it has the highest end GPU that's available now, and so people can put them in render farms, or maybe it's like focused on gaming or something like
yeah.
that. That's the only thing that I could see that why they would focus on a Mac Mini in an announcement. Other than that, if they don't change the outward appearance of it and it's just a spec upgrade, I don't see why that wouldn't just be in a press release and they would just say, here's the new Mac Mini.
Right.
But maybe there's something, it's been so long that maybe there's something coming out of Apple with some big announcement.
There's also, you know, somebody in our IRC chat room pointed out that Intel's Broadwell chips, right. which are delayed, aren't coming out until next year for devices like, you know, a Mac Mini. So if you launch something in October,
what are we doing with the chips?
Exactly. Would there be some like bump a few months into a new announcement? That sounds weird too.
Well, it also sounds weird to replace the iPad 3 with the iPad 4 with a lightning connector.
True.
It's
Gosh,
not...
remember that? What was that, a couple years ago now, and everybody was so upset?
Yeah, yeah.
It was, how dare you make things better?
It's kind of sad.
Now I need another iPad.
I mean, I don't think that it's that big of a deal. Apple is not a spec company. So normally, whenever there's just an upgrade in specs, it's a press release, and they put the new badge on the store, and that's it. So that I don't think that that's... I also think that the Mac Mini, to make it new and exciting, needs something else. It needs a new piece to the Mac Mini puzzle. Maybe it's super thin. Maybe it's super quiet.
Maybe it's just an iPad.
Maybe it's just an iPad.
Yeah, that's just,
maybe.
Surprise! It's all one category.
This new Mac Mini rises out, and then Tim Cook takes a sledgehammer and just smashes it and goes, you don't need this anymore, am I right?
Yeah, and everybody says, tablets are the future, woo-woo. Yeah, that's probably going to happen.
Right.
You know what is also going to happen is Apple Pay. Apple Pay is launching next month as well, but it's U.S. only. So what's kind of interesting is an NFC payments expert. Her name is, make sure I get this right, Mary Carol Harris, who worked at Visa, has been hired by Apple to help expand Apple Pay into Europe. Very good news for our iOS loving friends across the pond. I know when we first heard about Apple Pay, a lot of people were mumbling and grumbling, oh, U.S. only. I mean, that really cuts down on stuff. I'm super excited about Apple Pay, even though I've never used it because it doesn't exactly exist yet, just because I was very bullish on Square, Square payment system, which has basically been abandoned. So, you know, when I go into my coffee shop now, it's like, oh, now I need my credit card again because we're not using Square anymore or cash. Ugh, gosh, I mean, who carries cash anymore? With Apple Pay, I'm hoping I can go back to being like, here, give me my coffee, scan my phone,
walk away.
We're good to go.
It really feels like magic whenever it just works.
Yeah.
There's like two stores that I know of that reliably will take Google Wallet. And whenever you launch, and it's going to be even better with Apple Pay because on the Android side, you have to unlock your phone, launch the app, type in your PIN number, and then tap your phone. But with Apple Pay, there's the option, I assume, that you hold your phone next to the payment device, make sure your thumb is on the thumbprint reader, and you're done. And it emails you a receipt, at least it does with Google Wallet. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. And that's actually one of the reasons that, some people were asking in the chat room if I'm going to stick with Android. It's one of the reasons that I'm really thinking about leaving to get an iPhone if I could just find one to buy.
So this is actually, this is a important little note to point out. You're an iPad user.
I'm an iPad user.
But so, whereas I am just kind of like Apple across the board as far as my devices. I got a MacBook, I got an iPad, I got my iPhone. You are using both operating systems regularly.
Correct. Like Leo.
Like Leo. Yeah. Yes. Although Leo's got basically every phone.
Who
even knows
what isn't Leo
him.
Using? Yes.
But what do you feel like are the
main differences?
Well, not just the main differences, but Where does iOS shine in a way that Android doesn't and vice versa? If I could put you on the spot and ask you that.
Absolutely. iOS shines currently in animations and little details. The elegance of iOS always shines through on every app. I mean, anytime that there's an Android app that has the same sort of quality, like Path did, like neat little animations whenever you add a post, and there's a few others that really do that well. Facebook actually has done pretty well, and same thing with Twitter. That doesn't just exist kind of naturally on the Android world, and so iOS does that really, really well. The other thing that shines through with iOS is management of everything internally. I mean, when it comes, you know that your apps are never misbehaving inside of my iPad. And so that helps battery life.
When you say misbehaving, what do you mean?
What I mean is sometimes, Android, you have a lot of choice, but also that can mean that you make a stupid decision. So I've downloaded apps that promise to always keep track of your diet or whatever. And then, unbeknownst to me, it was also capturing my location the entire time so that it could display some stupid map to say, well, you've also walked over here. And that killed like 15% of my battery throughout the day until I finally went to the battery manager and noticed it. And I really love how iOS does, hey, this app wants to use your camera roll. It asks you right as it's going to access what it wants. Where with Android, you have to decide when you're installing the app. And there's just a fatigue of looking at all those menus. It's like, yeah, I want the app. Sure, accept. Go ahead. And you don't read through that says this can look at all your photos. This can send you notifications. This can do all of this. And I like how iOS approaches the way that it asks as it is performing the task. And it really gives you a good concept of why the app would need that access. And now that it has the access, and you can say, no, I don't want you to send me push notifications. That's stupid.
Yeah.
That sort of thing, which is hard to do.
Do you put a lot of push notifications on?
No.
I hate them.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate push notifications. I've never once said, yes, please send me push notifications.
It's calendar. Sunrise is the only thing.
Oh,
even then, you're like,
I'm like, the only push notification I want is if somebody sends me a text or maybe an alarm.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, for me, it's calendar, email, messaging, obviously, and then I don't want to hear about your stinking app other than that.
Yeah.
Like, get out of my mind.
In fact, I've actually deleted apps because you catch me on a bad day, send me a push notification.
Oh, yeah.
I'm done with you.
Yeah, you're like, hey, we just introduced pictures with stickers. And you're like, goodbye, app. You will never send me another push notification
end
again.
Of that.
Yes.
Hey, we got quite a flood of great dad tips from all of you, which is always fun when you get a new operating system. iOS 8, of course, has some little tips and tricks that did not exist in iOS 7. Peter wrote in and said, here's a good dad tip on a feature introduced in iOS 8. If you want to hide an unwanted app that has previously been purchased, it's always been difficult to hide. So, in fact, maybe you can follow along as I'm explaining it. So under iOS 8 on an iPad, it's very simple. You just tap on the App Store button. And then you select purchased so as to display your apps that are purchased.
Okay.
To hide an app, you swipe to the left and tap the hide button that appears.
Whoa! That was, I didn't know, whoa.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Now, my initial reaction would be, why would this ever be helpful? But we've actually had people say to us, why can we not selectively hide apps that we've purchased? I don't know. Maybe you're embarrassed about something that you've bought or you just want to clean it up.
A lot of times, I'll review stuff and I don't want them here in my purchase, like Smule, karaoke. I'm done with you. Goodbye.
Yeah, because it's in iCloud, but you haven't even re-downloaded it.
Right. And also, this area is where I go to whenever I set up a new device to download what I've already bought and what I've already purchased. So keeping this area clean, I could probably scroll way down and there's all sorts of stuff that I want to hide. What's the difference, HD? Goodbye. Calculator XL, I don't need you. The Constitution for the iPad, I will keep you, Constitution. I would have said, no, you're wrong, because these are tiles, and you can't swipe tiles. I mean...
Oh, you can swipe all sorts of stuff
now.
I had
no idea that was there.
Yeah,
that's
open or
really
hide.
Neat.
There's a... Yeah, so that's... it's kind of cool, huh?
Yeah.
And of course, you can see that some of your apps you've already, you know, installed or paid for or whatever, and they're just in iCloud and you haven't re-downloaded.
Right.
But once they are downloaded onto your device, not only do you get a hide option, but you also get an open option. So you can open or hide on anything that you or that you've already installed.
Wait, where's the open?
Well, you that's
you just click it.
Well, that's an iCloud.
Oh, right, right, right. Like, so I'd say if I want something, Amazon MP3 again,
well,
I'd click it.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is...
Oh, this open.
Well, yeah, but okay. That is also a different way. Anyway, it's just the audience knows what I mean,
yes,
right?
Yes. I'm okay. The stupid one.
No, you're not stupid. You're just slow sometimes on the uptake.
Yep.
But aren't we all? Hey, it's Monday after all. We have actually quite a bit more email that I think we have time for. We got an email from Pam, who says, I'm a longtime listener of iPad Today. Thank you for lending us your ears, Pam. I have been using the Facebook Messenger app for a while, but I can't figure out how to delete a whole conversation from the app. One message at a time is just too slow. Any tips for deleting whole conversations? Love the show and the humor. I think I know what you're asking. I'm going to open up my Messenger app, Brian. Give me a second, though, so I make sure I'm not showing anybody anything weird. Okay, yeah, no, this is fine.
Sending those gifts that
just,
I see.
You just never know. No, this is just photos. I barely even know this person. But yeah, Pam, I think what you're asking is, and you're mentioning that you can click and hold and delete a select part of a conversation, which could actually almost be used as blackmail, but whatever. So you go ahead and...
You never sent that to me.
Yeah, I never saw that. Right. I never said that.
Yes.
Let me see the chat window.
Oh, yeah. I'm sending the screenshot right now. Never sent it.
Right, exactly. Then you get into like a weird... but I took a screenshot before you deleted that part of the conversation. Anyway, you can selectively delete something in a conversation, but I think, Pam, what you want is just to delete an entire conversation, and if that's the case, you go over to the left-hand side where you see a friend. You go ahead and...
Look at that swipe. No.
Swipe to the left, and you've got mute, you've got delete, and you even have more options where you could not just delete the conversation, but you could archive it. Or mark as spam, which is... That's a Facebook thing. So if for whatever reason somebody was getting a hold of you via Facebook Messenger and you're like, I don't know you. I don't want to hear from you again. So you have other options in there. It always pays to do a little swiping. Everything's all swipe these days.
Is this like a big iOS 8 feature? Because I have...
Well, that's a Facebook Messenger thing. And that's been an option for some time. At least in the latest version of Facebook Messenger.
It's kind of like the long press or whatever.
Do you feel put out at all that Facebook wants you to use Facebook Messenger, the app? It doesn't bother me. In fact, I like the app.
It doesn't bother me because I don't use Facebook.
You don't use Facebook at all. Are you even on Facebook?
I am on Facebook.
You have a Facebook account.
But I will never install a Facebook app on my phone or my iPad.
And the reason is?
Because this is an Android issue, but when I installed it on Android, it took over everything. It wanted to use all the Facebook images for my contacts. All the Facebook emails were switched, all the emails were switched to Facebook emails. It just freaking took over. And then I think on the phone that I had from the carrier, this is like the original Droid, they had made a deal with Verizon, so I literally could not uninstall the app. And this was a few versions back in Android where this was an issue, where all you could do was uninstall updates. So all I would be saddled with, the only option was to be saddled with a really old version of the Facebook app.
Okay.
I never trusted it again, and I don't use Facebook enough to care.
So. Well, I think you have a pretty good reason.
Yeah.
I'm glad I asked.
Yeah.
I love Facebook Messenger, but, you know, it's to each their own. It's yet another way to communicate with friends and family if, for whatever reason, messages or WhatsApp or WeChat or Line or...
Colloquy.
GroupMe. Yeah. Is GroupMe even... Colloquy.
GroupMe
none of that actually
chat.
Works.
Yeah.
GroupMe.
Yeah. Group. Skype.
Or Skype.
Yeah.
You can chat on Skype, too. But hopefully that answered your question, Pam. Got another email from Doug who says, hey, how about a new hiding feature in iOS 8? This is another little dub tip. So let's say you've got a photo. You can press and hold a picture that you don't want to show up in, let's say, your photo stream in iCloud. And then you can choose to hide that picture. It's moved to a folder called Hidden. That way, you can show... This is actually a duh tip for me that Doug wanted to let me know about because...
Actually, so...
Last week, I was like, oh, I can't open up my Photos app anymore because I don't ever know what I'm going
to... I had to take an image of my driver's license, something that I don't want to show.
Right. So you go ahead and press and hold.
There you go. Yeah, so you can cut over. It looks like is like click and hold. You can't see any numbers. Hide.
Hide. Boop. And then it says, oh, would you like to hide this photo? It doesn't actually go anywhere. And you can say, yes, I would.
So now it's in my albums under hidden? Ooh.
That's
correct.
And
you can't even see what it is. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, cool.
So if, you know, Leo and I were making some jokes about sexy photos last week, which nobody actually does. We were just kidding, of course. But let's say that for the most part, you've got a lot of very innocent photos in there. And there's just, you know, maybe one or two. We're not even talking about, like, inappropriate, but just for whatever reason, it's just something you would prefer not to have in the roll when you show your friend all the photos that you took of your most recent trip to London. And now you have the option, which I did not know about. So thank you, Doug. Thank you, Doug.
That is great.
Yeah. Yep. Another email from Charles. Just going to be email heavy on this show. That's Charles says you can prevent the keyboard from reverting to the stock one by going into your list of installed keyboards, swiping left on the Apple keyboard, tapping delete. It's no longer there to default to.
Look at this swiping all day long.
Swipe and swipe.
I had no idea that swiping was such a big feature now.
Now, what's interesting about this is that it doesn't actually, you know, get rid of the Apple keyboard, but what it'll do is it will... What that does is it deletes it from your options.
Which is really good. Now, the only other option was to hit edit up here.
Right, yeah, when you're toggling between keyboards. If for whatever reason you're like, I just don't like that stock one. I don't want it there anymore. You can go ahead and get rid of it. So, like, in your case, now all you would have is your GIF keyboard, your Swift key, and your emoji.
All I need.
One of those
three. You know what? I don't even need the Swift key. Get out of here. Just emoji and GIF keyboard.
That's all you need.
Yep.
That's all you need to make sure that you're heard and people know what it is that you want. So anyway, thank you, Charles, for that little duh tip there. And a reminder that we love hearing from you. I mean, you guys are finding stuff, whether it's cool apps or little duh tips or tricks that we just never even knew about all the time. So if you would like to make us happy and help us build our next show, iPadToday@twit.tv is where you can write in. You can also leave us a voicemail if you prefer the voice thing. 757-504-IPAD. IPAD, yeah. 757-504-4723 if you prefer not to have words in your numbers. You can send us a video. You can tweet it, Chad or I, OMG Chad on Twitter, right?
Yep.
That's your tweet?
Yep.
Twitter handle?
Yep.
Yeah? I mean, you're not actually going to be doing the show with me next week, but you can certainly just start.
I'll wave, say hi.
Yeah, you just send Chad a barrage of iPad Today related advice, and then he'll pass it along to me and everybody wins. All right, Chad, what do you think about putting on some hats and acting like a couple of fools for a couple of minutes?
I like it.
What do you say?
I like it.
Now, your hat is like...
kind of looks like a tortoise.
It makes you look like you're a cute little character in a iPad game.
I agree.
Like you might be on some sort of like a... I don't know.
I gotta say, I like it.
It's kind of good.
I kind of want it to be, like, really baggy, but that's how the kids... Oh, it was supposed to be like this?
No, Leo has worn that hat before, I believe, and there's some story behind it. Somebody knitted it for us, or I don't exactly remember what it is, or there's... It says something in binary. I don't know. There's some cool story. Now, my hat is... I don't know. I've never seen this one before, but it makes noise.
Good.
Yeah, this is really good. I look so stupid. I'm distracted.
Welcome to the app caps, people. We wear stupid hats and talk about apps.
I'm distracted by how stupid I look. This is the App Cap Awards. If you're watching iPad Today for the first time or you forget this part of the show, this is where Leo and I, and today Chad and I, put on silly hats. We call them app caps.
What do you look like?
Oh, yeah. I look like a... Who is that?
I think it's Bowser from Mario.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Rawr, I'm like Bowser. We put on funny
bells.
Hats with bells, and we call them app caps, and we each talk about an app that we think is worthy of your time and or your money. This, I'll go ahead and start. This app is actually an iOS version of an application for Mac that's been around forever called Transmit. When's the last time you had to, like... access a server via FTP, Chad?
Oh, gosh. Actually, kind of often.
Kind of often?
Yeah, there's...
I thought you were going to say, like, many years ago.
No, because podcasts, mm-hmm. the best way to host podcasts is to have your own server or some sort of database, and the best way to get them there is FTPing podcasts back and forth. You have to put up the MP3, and then you have to put up the feed mm-hmm. if you're editing it manually, which I normally do. So, actually... fairly often.
There you go. Awkward. All right. Well, some people, you know, if you use FTP, which is file transfer protocol, obviously you know that you need it. Transmit has been a great Mac app for years. In fact,
that's the one.
The company, a company called Panic. They're based out of Portland. Has been updating Transmit app for years. I remember actually when it first came out, it was like the most beautiful FTP client I had ever seen. Which is saying a lot because FTP is not really known as like a beautiful way to, you know, move things around or access, you know, files on a server.
Yeah.
Transmit iOS is the iOS version. It's actually called Transmit iOS in the App Store, although once you've gone ahead and installed it, it's just Transmit. Looks like a little grocery truck here. Now, I don't actually have an FTP server that I need to connect to, but here are your options. You've got your documents and you've got your servers. Of course, depending on where you're logged in, you go ahead and say, okay, I want to, you know, add a new file. Here's a, you know, picture of a truck. And now where do I want to send the file? You can go ahead and connect to a server or a server group or, oh gosh, oh no, I've got keyboard issues. See what happens
yeah.
then?
Yeah.
That was like a weird keyboard crash.
It was like
crash.
It tried to load it, but it was like, no.
It was like, no, I think you want the, the native, I don't know. Yeah, that part of third-party keyboards is a little bit wonky. Something's not exactly going right. But you got your server, your server name, shared servers, history of your connections. If you want quick connect, that would be a way that, you know, if you were accessing, you know, a server over and over all the time, where you could auto-populate that information. Transmit iOS is $10.
No, so that's, I think that's worth it.
That, but yeah, I mean, it's... I remember when Transmit, the Mac app,
right.
Came out, and it was, I don't exactly remember how much it was, but it was something like more than, I don't know, free FTP
right.
programs, and people were saying, what? You got to start paying for this? But, you know, you're kind of paying for the experience. I don't know. I think that Transmit on iOS looks pretty darn nice.
It'll connect to FTP, SFTP, S3, which is Amazon, and WebDAV.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really good.
Yep, yeah. Dream Objects and Amazon S3 are part of your cloud options here. It's one of those apps that I feel like you just want to have.
Yeah.
Because I've never even considered actually FTPing into a server via my iPad before. Because I don't know, in my mind, it's like, oh, you can't really do that.
And I assume,
or you need to be on your Mac or something.
I assume, like, let's say you have, like, I run a lot of Minecraft servers, and there's a properties.txt, so I could change the server properties. I could probably download the server properties file, use another app to change it, and then re-upload it. And now I put back different server properties, is what I would assume.
Yeah.
So that would be also very useful. So, yeah. Great.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah. And of course if you were connected to a server, you can go ahead and disconnect. Yeah, it's a great little app. $10. I knew that the app was coming because the company had mentioned that they were working on it, but it is now live and direct in the App Store. Transmit iOS. $10 for a very, very good little FTP app.
So my app started it because I wanted to buff up and lose weight. I was going to get healthy, and
you're saying this in the past tense.
This
like,
is past tense.
Okay.
This is no longer.
You're just
no
not,
longer something I want to do.
You've given up on being healthy and buffing up.
Sort of. Okay. A little bit. Too
All
much
right.
work. Way too much work.
Okay.
So,
okay.
What I wanted to do was track my progress, and I wanted an app that did a few things that I'd be able to take photos daily that would give me an outline of the previous photo because I kind of wanted to do it like really cool, where like I stood in the exact same position and you could like see my like get all muscly, and that never happened.
Mm-hmm. You'd look good big and muscly.
That's what I thought,
yeah,
but
kind of
too
scary.
Much work. Way too much work.
Too much work, all right.
And I wanted something that could possibly output a rendered video at the end, and I found a fantastic app for taking time lapses. It's called Oh Snap, and it does all of the features that I wanted. I'd love to show it to you, but I'm currently rendering a video. But you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and hit cancel on this. But you can see that once you have a video that you want, you can easily render it out. Just however you want. So I'm going to hit cancel on this and actually show you the app. So one weird thing about it is that in most time lapses, you're going to have your iPad in this portrait mode, uh-huh. landscape mode. Uh-huh. But for some reason, all of the UI is in portrait mode. So you got to have to deal with that just a little bit.
Well, yeah, it's not the only iPad app that does that.
Not a big issue, but kind of a bummer.
But it is a native iPad app.
It is a native iPad app. Okay. So you have your projects. Right now I have four. You can easily add a project down here by, you know, choosing a project preset if you want. Like you're a photographer and you know exactly what you want, so you've made a preset, or choose new project. I have a project here that I just created. Once you're inside, there's no photos in this new project. You could play if you had stuff to look, or you can go into shoot. Let's go into settings, which is this down here. Lots and lots of settings, which is probably my favorite feature of this app. You can change the name. You can choose if it's a landscape or not. You can choose if it's the front-facing or the back-facing camera. The resolution, so that if you want to make a really high resolution render, you can. Right now it's using the front-facing, so if we change that to back-facing, now you can go all the way up to 1080p instead of just 720, which only the front-facing camera does. You can choose some overlay guides, but I'm going to get into that later. You can set your time delay, or your time interval, so how often it will take a photo, your delay, so if you hit start and then want it to start, you know, 5 minutes away from now, you can set that as well.
That's nice.
Very simple. You start off with seconds, and you can even go into the point of seconds. Then you can switch over to minutes over here, or even hours, so you can do all of that. Then you can say, you know what, I only want it to take 300 photos. You could set, you know, exactly how many photos it takes. And then also darken your screen to save battery, which is really cool because your iPad does need to be unlocked in order for this to work. Then you have other options for later, and you can change all of this whenever you render out your video, except for a few things like voiceover. If you wanted to do a voiceover, you actually need to have a separate app for that. Not now, please. Or you could loop it or whatever, and you can change these render settings later. Then there's a few more options about, you know, basic stuff. So let's go back. Let's check out a time-lapse that I've already done, because it does take a little while to do a time-lapse. So I'm going to go into and see what photos I've already taken. Down here, now that there's some photos added, you can see that there's a movie. This is movies render. This is add music. This is the voiceover feature, which you need a separate app for, or here, which is the gallery. I've taken over 750 photos, 761 to be exact, and so these are all the photos that I took in this last time lapse. This is actually me setting up the new OMG craft set, which is going to go in my living room. So you could easily go in and look at a specific one. Here's a cool little thumbnail of me and my cat.
Oh, hi!
During the time lapse.
Cool.
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
Cat foot.
And then from this view, you can also either drag around to see what's going on.
Look at that.
Hit play, and it will play it. This is playing it, I believe, at 10 frames a second is the default. I can hit stop, and then you can go frame by frame if you want to review what's going on.
That's very cool, because I feel like a lot of time-lapse makers, apps,
right,
will give you the finished product, but you don't really have a lot of control over individual photos that all contribute to that time
Absolutely. Lapse. And this was really cool because last night what I was doing was I was going through frame by frame. There were a few frames that were blurry, and so what I would do with those is hit this little trash can up in the corner, and you can delete a frame if you want. If I can hit that, it's kind of a small tap there. I'm not going to delete this frame because it's just fine how it is. But getting rid of those sort of weird frames, like in the beginning, there you could like see my nose as I was like setting it up. I deleted that frame. At the end, there's this frame, which is just kind of weird. So this one I will delete. So let's go ahead and delete that bookcase.
Yeah.
Right. Because I was taking it down to shut it off. And so now it ends without that weird bookcase. So that's really nice to review. Once you've finished reviewing your photos, you can go ahead and export your time lapse. So let's go back. This is the share button down here that you'll use. You could either, wait, actually, let me think. This is the other cool thing, is that all the photos that you take, you can share to your camera roll, which a lot of other apps don't do. So if I wanted to view, like, let's say, just that cat one that I had earlier, where is it? Here it is. I can take this one and share this one to my camera roll, which is really cool. Share this photo to my camera roll.
Oh, nice.
Which is really nice.
Yeah.
So how do we export the video? Let's go check that out. You can go ahead and hit create video.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can either just go ahead and do default settings, or we're going to adjust some settings just so you look at them. You can choose your frame rate. I chose 23 frames a second, and it'll tell you the estimated length. So this estimated length is 33 seconds. If we bump that up to 24, it'll be 32 seconds,
okay,
which is quite nice that it gives you an estimated length.
Yeah.
You can choose the quality. You could also choose a song that plays in the background based off your iTunes library. I don't want to do that right now. And then you can choose how many times it loops if you want it to loop, you know, 600, 700 times. We're actually not going to do that. And then you can choose the quality of the render. I've already done a render, so let me back out of here and go to, there should be, here we are. You'll see I've rendered this twice before, once without all the frames and one when with the ones that I deleted. So we're going to hit watch video, and you can see that this is the video that I rendered, and I put on YouTube.
Okay, so this is... Yeah, this is a video version of what you've already put together.
Absolutely.
So once it's a video, this is one contained file. You're not going to be able to go through and save photos. That's for when you're actually in the app itself.
Right. And so I can now jump into my photos. I saved this to my camera roll. So now I have...
your little videos.
I have the little video of me putting up my set here.
Now, for $3, which I believe OSnap is, $2.99 in the App Store, this seems like a very powerful tool.
Incredibly powerful for what you get. Oh, I didn't even go into, there's some overlay options if you want to overlay the last frame, if you want to have a grid, if you want to make sure that you set your focus so your focus doesn't move, set your iris so your iris doesn't move. It supports all of that while you're taking the time-lapse photos. Which is pretty cool.
What happened to your living room, Chad? You had to get rid of your TV? And are you actually going back and forth, or once that set is there, does it stay there?
No, it's going to stay there. I'm not going to try to mess with it. But yeah, that's the new OMG Craft set.
You are very dedicated to your OMG Craft.
Yep.
Good work.
So that is OSnap.
OSnap, all one word, the letter O, SNAP, exclamation point in the App Store. Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good app cap.
I like it.
You got file transfer, you've got an FTP app, and you've got a time-lapse app, which is different than, let's say, Instagram's hyperlapse app, because that's actually hyperlapsing video.
And it's
this
a little
is
bit
actually
more simple.
Just taking a bunch of photos and creating something that seems like a video, but is not actually moving images at all.
And with hyperlapse, you can't go in and say, you know, I really don't like that frame.
Exactly.
Or make sure that you lock your focus or lock your exposure, those things. So this is a lot more kind of pro, I would say.
Well, I love it. Oh, snap. Thanks, Chad. And thanks for co-hosting this episode of iPad Today.
It was a pleasure. It was absolutely great. Thank you.
It was. You know, it's like, I feel like you and I always sit here doing our stuff.
We should have been sitting here longer.
Right.
And we do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm.
Just a thought.
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for watching and listening to this episode of iPad Today. As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, Leo is taking a much needed little break. He's over in London.
Mm-hmm.
Which is part of the UK, I believe.
Yeah, I think so, too.
This week.
Depends on if
very
it's
punchy today.
The city of London, or isn't there a weird principality of London in the middle of London?
Well, I think, like, I don't, I don't know.
I thought I was about to agree with you, and I don't know.
Maybe Buckingham Palace is technically something else because it's like, you know, the royal area. Right. I don't know. I have no idea. But Leo will be back next week. Reminder, we do shoot the show on Mondays right after Triangulation and before this week in Enterprise Tech. We start the show at about 12:30 Pacific, 3:30 Eastern time.
Woo!
And sometimes we even have flags that are
randomly coming in.
You know, Brian's back there just
I think he's excited about the UK.
Yeah, it's exciting. And who isn't?
Who isn't?
Right? Thanks, Chad. And thanks to everybody for being with us for this episode of iPad Today. We will see you same time, same place next week. Until then, I'm Sarah Lane. He's Chad Johnson.
Chad Johnson.
And we're going to howl now.
Oh!